Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
All right, you're in your Bibles here, and you're in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. And this is a message here I believe that absolutely applies to all of us because it teaches us the danger of negativity. And negativity will absolutely spread and impact you in your spiritual life. And we're going to see an example of that here with the Israelites, where it's the story of the 12 tribes. So you have these 12 tribes, it's not the 12 tribes. Each tribe is represented. It's 12 spies, and each one is represented by the 12 tribes of Israel. So what occurs right here is they're going to go into the promised land, and they're going to get this report, and 10 of the reports are going to be negative, and 2 of the reports are going to be positive. So that's what's going to happen right here. And that's going to be our story. So I want to give you this background information because we're not going to read all of this scripture here. This is in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. So that's our story we're going to be following along here. And we're going to read basically 4 different sections of this. This is about how negativity can absolutely be a discouragement in our life, as well as it's one that can just pull us down spiritually with this. So God is going, the Israelites have left Egypt. They're on year 2. And they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And they're coming up from the southern Israel area, the promised land. And God is preparing them for taking the promised land. And the way they need to do that is they're going to send some 12 spies to scout out the land. And they're scouting out the land by making sure, seeing what type of people live there, how fortified the cities are, just basically going around and checking everything out. And then that's going to prepare them for the battle, because it has been over 400 years since the Israelites, the Hebrew people, have been in the Promised Land. Remember, when did they last leave the Promised Land? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all lived in the Promised Land. But during the time of Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, there was a 7-year famine. And during that 7 years, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, and he was a great saver. He truly taught about saving. He saved for 7 years of good years. Then when the 7 bad years came along, he was prepared for a famine. And that's when Israel, also known as Jacob, brought his family. At that point, there was only 75 of them, brought them into the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, and they were there under Joseph's leadership. And you thought they were only going to stay there for maybe a few years till it got better. That few years ended up being over 400 years. So what we see here is 400 plus years later, now the Israelites, under Moses' leadership, have went through the Red Sea. They've left the slavery of Egypt, and God is preparing them this point to go in and take back the land. But a lot has changed in 400 years. I mean, you think about Kentucky 400 years ago. It's 2024. If we could go back in time 400 years, that would be 1624. Now, if we could rewind and show up here at this area in 1624, there would be trees everywhere and Native Americans and maybe some black bears. So that would be what we would see all over the place. It's a lot different than it is now. So if you could, what you think and the stories you heard about, and then what they are now, a lot has changed. I mean, we would be 400 years ago, we're hunting with a bow and arrow. This is just, and that's how we get our food. We shoot our bear and catch, and the Kentucky River would be nice and clean, and you would go fishing there and catch your fish, and you would eat them. So it'd just be a totally different time of living. And that's what the stories they've heard passed down over the years. Because remember, these folks have been stuck in slavery for 400 years, and they've heard all these stories about the land flowing of milk and honey, and nobody's been there. So now they're finally about to go there, and they're realizing, oh, it's a lot different than what we expected. Now there's all these new people groups, and they're building up cities, and they have got to prepare for battle. But the Lord has been leading them and preparing them for this part. So that's where we're going to pick up in this story. So you're in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Send men to scout out the land of Canaan. I am giving to the Israelites.'" So God has told Moses, you're going to raise up these men. They're going to be scouts, spies. They're going out there. "Send one man who is a leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes." Those are the 12 sons of Jacob. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. And by the way, Jesus came from the fourth tribe, and that's the tribe of Judah. "Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the Lord's command." That's the southern area of Israel. They're in the Sinai Desert, and they're coming up north. "All the men were leaders in Israel." So these were not just regular men. These were men who were leaders. God had taken these men, and these were supposed to be your top guys, men who had great influence, men who were courageous, men who were bold in their faith. And they were going to be the ones who were going to lead all the different Israelites, a million plus man army, into the promised land for battle. And they're scouting it out. So we're going to skip down now. So the next few verses give us a highlight of all these different men, of the 12 spies. 10 of them are negative, 2 are positive. And we're going to see that here in a minute. So pick up on verse 6 or 17. Verse 17, it says, "When Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan," Canaan is Israel. That's why a lot of our old-timey songs, we hear about Canaan. That's why you go out in the rural parts of Kentucky and you see Canaan Baptist Church. Canaan is named after Israel. That's the land. "He's the land of Canaan," he told them. "Go up this way to the Negev." That's a desert region south of Israel. "And then go up into the hill country." The hill country would be Galilee. That's the hills. That's where Jesus is from. So they're saying all over the region there. So the desert part of the promised land as well as the northern part. So you go and you look at the land. "See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land they live in good or bad? Are the cities they live in encampments or fortifications?" So they need to kind of prepare. So they need to see, what are these cities like? What's it going to be like when we show up? Are the people strong people? Do they have armies? They have no idea. Nobody knows anything. It says, "Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees on it or not?" So, and then it says, look at this key word here in verse 20. Be courageous. That is a key word, they're told. The Lord is telling the people, scouts, you be courageous. Don't be bashful. Like, we need to, they're doing a scouting report. You know, it's already March. So baseball season actually starts. Opening day is March 28th. So that's in 6 days, so we're 3.5 weeks away from Major League Baseball starting. Whenever you have a baseball game in the pros, you know who the pitcher is. There's a scouting report on the pitcher, so every hitter is fully aware. This guy throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball on a 3-2 count. He's going to throw a breaking ball. He also has a slider he uses as his strikeout pitch. So on 2 strikes, you're going to get the slider. Every hitter is fully aware. When by the time you step into the batter box, you know generally what type of pitches that pitcher is going to throw. And then every relief pitcher is the same. All they do is throw fastballs because just they bring the heat. That's what relief pitchers do. But a starting pitcher, because he's got to throw 80, 90 pitches, he's got to mix up his pitches and save his arm somewhat. So you're fully aware of scouting reports on what's going to happen. Well, this is a scouting report. They're about to go into a military battle, and they need to know, what are we walking into? What are the people going to be like? How should we prepare for battle? And it says here in the last verse after, be courageous, bring back some fruit from the land, for it was the season for the first ripe grapes. So this is springtime when they're sending in the scouts. And these 12 spies, all their journey is to walk around. They're just walking around and taking notes. They're just going around noting everything about. They need to know what type of fruit is there because they're bringing in a million-man army and they're going to need some food. So what type of fruit tree should we be planting to eat? So this would be great military strategy. So far, so good. The train is rolling down the tracks just like we would expect. No wild cards at this point. We've selected the 12 leaders to be spies, one from each tribe. We've selected also their assignment that they're going to check every little detail out, down from the trees, down from the cities, down from the different peoples, how strong they are, and all they are is just taking notes. And everything is fine until we come back. So they come back 40 days later. They walk around all of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. And they come back to Moses and they present their report. And this is when things start to go sideways on us. Because at this point, everything is fine. And this amazing story, what's about to occur, this story is actually what prevented them from entering the promised land. And they all had to die in the wilderness because God was so angry. Because at this point, their next action plan should have been, okay, let's start getting the armies ready. Now we're ready to go up and take our first city. But that's not what's going to happen at all. So look what happens here. Skip down now to verse 26. So they're going to get a report on what to do. And so, you know, God tells us all the time what to do. And God has been telling them, you're going to do this. You're going to prepare. And a lot of times we follow the Lord and we want to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. And God tells us all the time, I believe, what to do. I'll give you two examples just recently of what happened. We're all the time to invite unchurched people to church because God wants to see people saved. The Bible teaches us that people who do not know Jesus are spiritually lost. They're actually going to hell. Hell is not a place to joke about. It's not a place of a little red devil. It's separation from God that is eternal fire for people who have unforgiven sin takes us to hell. Jesus, when we are saved, he actually covers and removes our sin. That's what we'll be all talking about soon leading up to Easter. That's why the death of Jesus is so important because he's dying for our sins. But so when we know people in our life who do not go to church, who do not love the Lord, who are not saved, we want to invite them to church. And that's all the time we have opportunities to do that. But a lot of times, sometimes God tells us to do something is to reach out to people. And like, for example, he will place people on your heart that maybe you haven't thought of in a long time or you haven't heard from. And he places them on your heart for you to pray for them, in many ways also to reach out to him. In fact, that happened to me about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, God brought someone to my mind. He kept bringing this gentleman to my mind, someone I used to be friends with. I say used to because I hadn't seen him in 2 years. And that's dangerous when God does that to you because I always know what's going to happen. When God brings someone to your mind like that, the Lord wanted me to pray for this guy. I started praying for him. He said, Daniel, text him, let him know. So I sent this guy a text message. Hadn't spoke to him in 2 years. Say, hey, buddy, I just want you to know, I didn't call him buddy. I said, hey, man, I want you to know, just praying for you. Lord brought you to my mind. Hope you're doing okay. Literally, that's it. He texts me back in 1 minute. He's one of those guys, like, phone in his hand all the time, ready to reply his text. Daniel, thank you so much for praying for me. I needed that. I've been struggling. And he went on to some stuff he was dealing with and just the struggles. But I've also learned, when you do that, you need to get prepared because it always happens. The Lord literally told me, said, Daniel, you need to get ready because you're going to see him. I am not kidding. 5 days, I haven't seen this man in 2 years. 5 days later, we bump into each other. Then 2 days after that, we see each other a second time. In 1 week, I see this guy. I hadn't seen him in 2 years twice. And that's what the Lord does when God puts something on your heart. When God brings someone in your life, he brings to your mind, you just need to go ahead and prepare yourself because you're going to be bumping into them. God's going to make sure a conversation has happened. And both meetings were unexpected, and of course, he thanked me both times for texting him and just sharing with me what some of the things he has been dealing with in his life. But when God tells us to do something, we need to have the attitude, okay, God, I'm ready to respond. Well, at this point in this story, they are, all the Israelites are on track of responding. They show up at the, they go scout out the promised land. The Bible actually says they brought back, the grapes were so big that they were carrying a pole. Two people were carrying this pole and grapes were on the pole, a cluster of them, just to show to all the Israelites, look how nice this fruit is. Look how good of a land this is. Now, everything is looking good. Good food, God's saying this is what we're doing. We overcame previous problems. We're now prepared to go into the promised land, except the report is about to occur. So pick up in your Bible here, Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. The men went back to Moses and Aaron and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, that's southern Israel. They brought back a report for them and the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought back their fruit. They've got their report card. Everything should be good. They reported to Moses, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. And here's some of its fruit." Stop right there. That should end the report. The next plan should be, let's go take the land. The land's flowing with milk and honey. Here's some big grapes. Let's all have some grapes. And let's gear up the battle. But there's a key word in the next verse. Look at verse 28 up on the board. Look at what happened. This should not have occurred. Verse 28. Everything was fine until this point. This is where the train went off the tracks. These spies said, however, what a terrible word. However, it's almost like you just told me all this good news, but however, there's a conjunction there that's about to change everything. All the first part didn't matter at all, what I just said. Throw all that out the window. However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. There are no descendants of Anak. Watch, these descendants of Anak, these are people from the Nephilim. These people died in the flood. They were killed. These were giants during the time of Genesis chapter 6 that had unnatural relations with the sons of God. We don't really know what they were. They were men of renown, the Bible says. There's one Bible verse about them in Genesis 6:4. So these are mythical people that they're using as a scare tactic. One of the problems, what happens with fear? Fear causes things to appear bigger than they really are. There were not giants in the land. There weren't 7 and 8 foot and 10 feet tall people walking around waiting to go to battle. That's just not realistic. So that statement is not true, and it gets worse. Look at verse 29. The Amalekites are living in the land. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea along the Jordan. Now, all that's true. Those different people groups do live there. Then, so Caleb, remember, he's one of the good guys here. He's realizing, you're giving like a negative report. I need to butt in and stop this derailment going on. He speaks up in verse 30 and says, Caleb quieted the people. He says, whoa, 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 this is going down the wrong track. He speaks up and he says, in the presence of Moses and the people, let's go up now and take the possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. Do you see his courageous spirit of this man named Caleb? We remember Caleb's name. We remember Joshua's name. Those were the two positive spies. We don't even remember who the 10 negative spies were. Nobody remembers the negative people. They remember those who are courageous, those leading the people, those following the Lord. Verse 31, So Caleb tries to prevent this negativity from spreading. He's realizing things aren't going well. But the men who went up, had gone up with them, responded, "We can't attack the people because they are stronger than we are." So they gave, look at this, a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. "The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants." What does that mean? It devours its inhabitants? What a terrible statement. That's a defeated attitude. It says, if we go in this land, they will devour us. "And all the people we saw in it are men of great size." All the men are just like supersized men. Dude, this is a lie. The God actually calls this report evil. It's lying is what they were doing. They were making something. They were taking a statement and making it false. "We even saw," verse 33, "the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim." Nephilim died in the flood. These people don't exist. They haven't been around for 2,000 years. These are mythical people who've come back from the flood to terrorize the Israelites in their mind. This is what fear does. This is lying. Fear of the unknown can be very scary because it's been inflated so much. And it says, "To ourselves we seem like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them." Now they're speaking on behalf of the mythical pretend people Nephilim. They said, "The Nephilim looked at us and saw us as like grasshoppers." Like they thought us as we were puny when we were walking around. Do you see how bad this was? They're lying. God later on in the next chapter calls this report evil. This is a satanic report you're giving. You're undercutting the Lord here. Nephilim don't exist anymore. They died 2,000 years prior in the flood. And not only that, God has told us to take the land and to be courageous, and you're doing just the opposite. You're saying we can't take the land, and we're not courageous. Verse chapter 14, verse 1. Now look what happens when we spread negativity. This is what happens when you complain and you gripe and you talk bad about stuff. It spreads to other people, and it influences. And we, part of our spiritual life, we always have to make sure, Lord, am I spreading negativity or am I believing negativity? Because it's happening here, this bad report. "Then the whole community," chapter 14, verse 1, "broke out into loud cries, and the people wept that night." They're crying themselves to sleep. I mean, think about this. They're holding their pillow crying because they cannot trust the Lord. And the people are so big in this land. And the Nephilim have taken our land. That God who led us through the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea, delivered us from Pharaoh. We can't defeat these people. "All the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron. And the whole community told them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt." They wish they had died. If we had just died in Egypt. Or if we had died in the wilderness. They wish they had died out of Egypt, in the wilderness. They're wishing to be dead. They're so weak and so much in fear here. "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" They're willing to go back to Egypt. Now look what they say. Verse 4. "So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt." Remember, we started this message here by picking 12 leaders, one from each tribe. Now they're saying, let's get us a new leader, replace Moses, and we'll just go back to through the Red Sea and go back to Pharaoh and say, "I surrender, make me a slave. I don't want to follow the Lord anymore. We just want to start making our bricks without clay. Like, let's just, you know, go back to hard times." This is terrible. They are willingly saying, "I would rather be in slavery under Pharaoh and the land of Egypt than follow and trust the Lord to the promised land, which He's brought us this far." And that's what happens with a negative report. one of the things we have to do, we are commanded by our Lord that we have to act on faith and not fear. Fear paralyzes us. These folks were paralyzed. They could not do anything. When you become fearful, you do nothing. You get scared. All of a sudden, nothing changes and your faith is gone because you are scared to death of the mythical Nephilim who are going to defeat you. And what happens, you forget the promises of God. You forget that God has brought you to this part. He's bringing you to the land flowing with milk and honey. Criticism was not the way to respond. All they had to do was say, look, there's people in the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Here's some grapes. Let's get the armies together, and we're going to attack the people and take the city with that. The problem with negativity is it spreads like wildfire. Negative news sells. If you and I owned a news station, we would want to put the most negative news on the news station because that's what lures people in and it keeps your people viewing. You keep them scared to death all the time. We need to go buy a gun. We need to lock our doors. We can't go outside anymore. Things are dangerous. I mean, it's just that is this, it's a paralyzing fear that it keeps you going. It's a negative report. And God later in this chapter, in verse 27, says this is actually an evil report with that. What it also does, negativism, it magnifies the problem and minimizes the resources. Do you know who the resource was here? It was God. He was the one who was going to fight their battle. And they said, no, he can't do it. We're just going to go surrender. We're going to go back to Egypt. But you know what's interesting about this? There's actually two true statements that was made at the same time. This is the first time in the Bible this occurs here. Both sides were right. These 10 negative men were right, and these two positive men who gave a good report were both right. So what do you mean that about, Pastor? The two that said they can did. They went into the land. They defeated those people groups. They got to experience the land flowing with milk and honey. But the 10 who said that they can't didn't. They get struck down by the Lord and they die. They didn't go in the land. They perish. Their life was over. They asked to die in the wilderness, and God granted that request. You want to die in the wilderness? Fine. You're going to die in the wilderness. And they die in a few verses here. They don't even make it very long. But God actually took the 10 negative people and says, you're going to die. And the two positive people says, you're positive. You want to go to land? You're going to the land. He did that. Both sides were right. One said they can't, and they couldn't. One said they can, and they did. And what happens with this is when we go around, what comes out of our mouth, when we go around speaking negatively, that in many ways determines what we're going to do. People who gripe and complain, they don't do anything. They're paralyzed. They're in fear. They're stuck. And their answer is, we can't. Complaining leads to discouragement, and it's real. It kills our spiritual life. What happened is one of these people here, they didn't take the land because they compared the enemies, the fake people of the Nephilim, all these people groups that live there, they compared their enemies to themselves instead of to God. They thought they were the ones fighting the battle, but it wasn't. They made the wrong comparison. The people, these people, the Canaanites who lived in the land, they were going to be fighting against the Lord, not against the Israelites. The Israelites were just, they were the tokens of the recipient. God was going to bless them. He was going to just use them to move those people out. God was the one who was going to fight all their battles. They made a wrong comparison. And what happens when God leads us, when God tells us what to do, when God instructs us, we can't start in comparing whatever challenges are ahead of us, whatever problems come about to us. We take those problems and challenges and we put them against the backdrop of God. Say, God, you're the one saying to do this. You're the one telling me I'm going to save my marriage. You're the one telling me I'm going to get married. You're the one saying to trust me in my dating life. You're the one telling me to trust me in your finances and start tithing, giving, and start serving, and start being a godly person. Lord, I'm going to trust you in that. Even though I feel I can't do it, I know you can. I'm not comparing it to me. I'm taking the comparison and making it to God. But what happens is discouragement, negativity. It causes you and I to question what we previously affirmed. Like we affirmed that, Lord, I'm just going to believe and trust you, and whatever happens, I know it will get through it. But because I've heard this negative report, I'm having my doubts. I don't want to go back. I don't want to fight the battles anymore. And we step backwards instead of moving forward in our faith. See, in our spiritual life, God, all the time, He's calling us to trust Him. He's calling us to move forward. And I want to tell you, a lot of trust is just releasing control. Saying, Lord, I can't control the outcome. I can't control the direction. I don't even know what's going to happen to this person. But Lord, you do. I trust you in this area of my life. Now look here at the last few verses here. Skip all the way down to chapter 14, verse 36. This is the ending. Because where the verses we skipped over is God's judgment. God became very angry, and he was about to kill every single person. And Moses interceded and said, whoa, 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 Lord, let's not kill everyone. I mean, Lord, he was just about to wipe them all out. He said, this is horrific. This is evil. These people, they want a leader and go back to Egypt. They're rejecting the Lord as their leader, not Moses. They're just going to go just die. If they want to die, I'll gladly let them die. And Moses pleaded with the Lord. And then there was a judgment that came. But through Moses, he saved their life. But then look at the consequences that happened. Verse 36, last verses this morning. So the men Moses sent to scout out the land, and who returned and incited the entire community to complain, these are the 10 men, about him by spreading a negative report about the land. Those men who spread the negative report about the land were struck down by the Lord. God killed those 10 men. He says, your time, you asked to die in the wilderness, your wish is going to be granted. So they died. God killed them himself. Only look at this. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men who went out to scout out the land. Two men had a courageous attitude, Joshua and Caleb. And do you know the consequences from this? We skipped over it, but they spent the next 40 years wandering around in the desert because God said these people who believe the negative report and who want to appoint a leader and go back to Egypt, they're going to die in the wilderness. And the reason it was 40 days in the wilderness is because they scouted the land for 40 days. So it said, you spend 40 days, and every single person, 20 years old and older, died. So if you were 19, you got to enter the promised land because you were considered a child or a teenager. But if you were 20 and up, you were going to die. And God made sure those people died off before they went into the promised land and finally crossed 40 years later the Jericho River. The Jordan River and took Jericho. So it was actually a very young group that entered the promised land. That was their punishment. So a 45-year-old man my age, if I would have been in that community listening to the report and I would have jumped in and said, you know what, you're right, maybe those are some big people, we need to step back, my fate was actually sealed by the other group's negativity. By listening to those 10. It's dangerous for us when we listen to a negative report. It's discouragement, it's evil, it creates fear, and it leads to a lack of trust in God. And all the time, we will have people in our life that will spread negative reports, that will plant seeds of doubt, and really just flat out lies. The Nephilim are living in the land, and descendants of Anak are there. These super giant people are just roaming around, picking up trees and throwing them. I mean, just crazy stuff that wasn't even true. And they believed it, and God punished them. Last verse I want to say. In fact, Beecher, why don't you and the band, y'all come forward. This is going to be our invitation verse. I want y'all to read this. It's up on the screen. It's in the KJV because this is how we should respond. It tells us in the KJV, greater is he, this is 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why we're able to be courageous. Because greater is he that is in you. That means Christ, if you're saved, Christ is inside of you. You have Jesus inside of your life. He has made a home inside your heart. The Holy Spirit has made a deposit guaranteeing your salvation, as Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us. So if Christ is inside of us, he is greater than he is in the world. Me and the devil, we follow the Lord who is greater than he that is in this world. And a worldly negative report kills our spiritual faith in the Lord. Some of us are being led, going about life, living in fear, living by lies, living by doubt. We've surrendered what we have believed about the Lord, and we're just in this paralysis of fear, and we do nothing. And we see the Bible tells us that greater is the Lord in you than he that is in the world. And we cling to that verse. And this morning I ask you, maybe you've been thinking about getting saved, and you, for whatever reason, you haven't gotten saved. You've just been paralyzed in fear. You're scared, I don't know, whatever was preventing you. Don't allow a negative report. Don't allow 10 men who spread negativity for us to get caught up in that and allow that to pull you away from trusting God. So why don't we all stand together? I'm going to stand out front with Zach Bauer. If you have been thinking about and you feel you need to respond to Jesus this morning, remember, he wants us to respond with boldness. Joshua and Caleb were courageous. They were not shy. They boldly, courageously followed the Lord. That is our same response. We stand down front. You come take our hand and say, Pastor, Zach, I want to get saved this morning. Zach, you come stand on here. Beecher, Danny, we're going to have our song.